Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 17. We'll continue our study in this wonderful chapter. The name of the message is Christ's Complete
Work. Christ's Complete Work. Last week we saw how Christ glorified the Father in all that he did and say while he was here upon this earth. And we'll see tonight, we'll see him by his own words bring forth that he has absolutely finished the work which the Father sent him to do. Let's read verses 1 to 5. Again, our text will be verse 4 of John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What a statement in these first five verses. Now, the way for us to have joy and peace as believers, that's something that the religious world constantly seeks after by something that they do. But you know how we, as the people of God, have joy and peace? It's to never concentrate upon ourselves. To not concentrate upon ourselves. See, in religion, they're always concentrating on themselves. I know, because I was there. Oh, I got to be more loving to people. Oh, I got to have more joy. I got to have more peace. And it was always by something I did. But I'll tell you, I've learned, since the Lord God showed me grace, I've learned that we as believers, if we want joy and peace, we're not to concentrate upon ourselves. Because what do we see when we look upon ourselves? Sin and failure. That's all we see. We also see ourselves failing to live up to God's standards when we concentrate upon ourselves, as he puts forth in the Word of God. But if we concentrate on this wonderful fact, if we concentrate on this wonderful fact that's presented to us tonight, and as I was concentrating on this today, as I was reading and studying for this message today, my heart was leaping for joy. Because see the word finished there? It's the same Greek word when Christ cried, "It is finished." It's the same Greek word, beloved. And oh, when we concentrate on Christ and on the work that he performed, right? Because he did the work to save our souls. When we think about that, oh, what joy will flood our souls. My salvation, I stand before you, my salvation in Christ is complete by him. And I'm complete in him, and so are you if you're in him. There's nothing for us to do, beloved, but look to Christ. And that's by God-given faith that we do that. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. He finished salvation perfectly. We're going to see that tonight in the definition of this word. It's absolutely complete. Salvation was absolutely finished by Christ and him alone. And then the believer, we rejoice in the fact that he did it for us. We're so undeserving. We don't merit this wondrous salvation that we have in Christ. Nothing in us that would have God say, yeah, I'm going to give it to Dave or Wayne or Brian. Nothing in us that would cause him to do that, except for his mercy and his grace. So Linda and Jill and Ann, you guys can say along with us that we're saved by the grace and mercy of God plus nothing. He did it all. Christ did it all. He finished the work. And that's what he's bringing forth here. And as we contemplate the fact that of our eternal souls are completely redeemed forever now. Forever. What joy will flood our souls. It's wondrous. It's absolutely wondrous. We are saved sinners. That's incredible. We are sinners saved by the grace and mercy of God through Christ Jesus our Lord, who finished the work. Aren't you glad that there's nothing for us to do? It's wondrous. See, man's religion, there's always something you got to do. Man-based religion. You got to be baptized to be saved. That's a false gospel. You got to go to a certain church to be saved. That's a false gospel. Salvation is not in the church. Salvation's in Christ. In him alone. You got to worship on Saturdays. Otherwise, you're taking the mark of the beast. That's a false gospel. It focuses on what man has to do. Same with the baptism. Focuses on what man has to do. Same with attending a certain church. The Catholics do that. They say outside the Catholic Church, there's no salvation. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Salvation's only in a person, and that person's name is the Lord Jesus Christ, who finished the work of redemption. You see? As Scott Richardson used to say, we look outside ourselves and up to Christ. I like that, because that's the truth. So what peace will flood our souls when we contemplate this wonderful truth that we can't save ourselves, but Christ saved our souls. He did it willingly, too. Christ came into this world to save sinners. That was his whole mission. And in doing that, he glorified God, didn't he? We see that in our text. They go hand in hand. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So in finishing the work of our redemption, Christ glorified God. It's amazing. And then again, like I said last week, now we glorify God for the wondrous things that Christ has done for us. And we glorify our Savior, don't we? Who is God incarnate in the flesh. Oh my. And again, note these two statements and note how they complement each other in this verse. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. We can all say that, right? I'm the chief of sinners, along with Paul. Christ didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. He didn't come to save those who thought they were whole already, which is what the righteous, the self-righteous do. I was there. Were you there? I was there. I didn't think I needed Christ. Oh. Wow, were my eyes opened? Were yours? My. So we'd say we were sinners, but there's always was someone worse than us. But no, that's not the case. When the Lord shows you grace, that's not the case at all. My. So he says, here I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. See these two statements complement each other. Again, in saving sinners, he's glorifying God. In living the perfect life as our substitute, he's glorifying God. In his death, he's glorifying God. In his resurrection, he's glorifying God. In his ascension, back up to heaven, he's glorifying God. Everything Christ did glorified God. everything we do doesn't glorify God in our natural state. See, isn't that incredible, though? So that which we could never do, he did for us. It's amazing. This is amazing grace. Listen, turn, if you would, to Psalm 86. Oh, this is wondrous. Christ came to save his people from their sins. And in doing so, again, he glorified God. And he glorified God every second of his life. There was never a time when he wasn't glorifying God. Look at this, though, in Psalm 86. And we can sing these wonderful words with David because Christ has redeemed our souls. If we're one of the redeemed ones, we can sing these wonderful words with David. And in doing so, we glorify God for the wondrous things he's done for us. Look at this in verse 10 to 13. For thou art great. You know our God? He's great. I'm going to preach a message this weekend on his greatness. Do you know you can't measure it? You can't even fathom his greatness. We can't even come close to fathoming his greatness. He's so great. Our God's so great. Look at that. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Now every believer can say, he does wondrous things because he saved my soul. Wonder of wonders. He's loved me with an everlasting love. Wonder of wonders, Christ left the glory and splendor of heaven to redeem my eternal soul. He does wondrous things, doesn't he? Absolutely wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Remember what our king said in verse 3 of John 17, that this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. There is only one God. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the three are one. And he's God alone. And then look what David sings. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And that's not a slavish fear there. That's a reverent fear. That's being in awe of who God is. Because that's what we don't have a slavish fear anymore of God. There was one time when we trembled and feared. Now we still tremble at his greatness, don't we? And in reverent fear, we are in awe of who he is. But his anger toward his people for our sins has already been appeased. Scripture says God's angry with the wicked. He's not angry with the righteous. Those in Christ. Because that wrath is being appeased, hasn't it? And that's righteous anger. That's not anger like we get. That's righteous. That's sinless anger. My. And then it says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. We've been given a new heart, haven't we? We've been given a new heart now that glorifies the name of God. We didn't glorify God's name before the Lord saved us. Now we sure do, don't we? Oh, he's wonderful. He's wondrous. He's so great. For great is thy mercy toward me. See, it's personal, isn't it? Every believer can say that. Oh, my great God and King, great is your mercy towards me. Towards me in through the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. We've been delivered. We've been redeemed. We've been plucked out as a brand from the fire, beloved. We've been delivered from the lowest hell. My, what a Savior! What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. My, oh my. We've been delivered. Do you know we've been saved from our sins? We've been saved from the law of God, which had a demand upon us. We've been saved from the wrath of God, because Christ appeased it, that which was against us. we've been saved from hell. That's what David's bringing forth here, right? Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. And we've been delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. We couldn't deliver ourselves, could we? But has His mercy not been great towards us? That He delivered us from all these things? It's wondrous, isn't it? It's absolutely wondrous. How did this come about? How did this deliverance come about? By the perfect, sin-atoning redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect, complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross in saving His people from their sins. And He cried, "It is finished. It's done. There's nothing to be added to it by any human being. It's perfect." That's what it means in the Greek. It's perfect, beloved. It's come to a perfect end. Oh, it's wonderful. Christ did that for me? Christ did that for you if you're one of His people? Yes. Yes, He did. All because it pleased Him to do so. That's the part that leaves us just stunned, isn't it? It leaves me just stunned, I'll tell you that. That Christ, the mighty Maker, would leave heaven and come to this sin-cursed world to redeem my soul, my sinful soul. It's true, isn't it? Is that not the best news you've ever heard in your life? Amen. That's the best news I've ever heard in my life, I'll tell you that. You know, and Christ didn't come into this world to add to God's glory. No one can add to God's glory. He came in here specifically to save us from our sins. And He has completely, perfectly saved us from our sins and glorified God at the same time. And you know, He glorified the Holy Spirit too. He glorified the whole Trinity, didn't He, by what He did? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made a covenant in eternity. And Christ was the one who said, "I'll come to this world." A world they created. My. Anything too hard for the Lord? No. People say, "Well, how can that be? Anything too hard for the Lord?" Nope. Nothing. Nothing. Scripture says it, and I believe it. By the grace of God, I believe it. My, it's wonderful. Now, you and I can work on something, can't we? We can work on something. I used to be a sign painter. By hand. I used to do it all by hand back in the day. And I'd be sitting there painting, and I'd finish a sign. Somebody come up and go, "Man, that is wonderful." And I look and I could see all my mistakes. I could see every one of my mistakes. Every single one. But they wouldn't see it. Now, another painter, someone who was far superior to me, could have come and fixed that stuff up and made it even better. But it'll never be perfect. Never be perfect. See, we can make things and work on things, but it'll never be perfect. Someone can always add a little something to it and be a little bit better. Or even you guys might decide, "Well, I want to do something a little different, make it a little bit better." Now, the difference with this work that Christ speaks of, the difference with this work, which Christ finished of the salvation of our souls, is that if you or I add anything to it, we ruin it. Because the perfect man completed the perfect work. And if he's perfect, which he is, and his work is perfect, then there's absolutely nothing that can be added to it. Anything that would be added to it would ruin it, especially if it by us. How can one add to a perfect work completed by a perfect man who's God incarnate in the flesh? Well, we can't add anything to the finished work of Christ, can we? Nothing at all. Again, because we are imperfect. We are sinners. And we would ruin that work. You see the folly of people say, you must be baptized to be saved? Or you must do this? You must speak in tongues to be saved? It's folly. It's man. You know what it is, really? It's man calling God a liar. Really, I was contemplating that today. Because Christ says here, he's finished the work. So if someone says they have to do something to be saved, they're calling Christ a liar. That's serious business, isn't it? That's serious business. Well, by grace of God, we believe what the scriptures say, don't we? We believe it. So such foolishness in works-based religion, it denies the finished work of Christ. At the heart of it, again, it proclaims, works-based religion proclaims God as a liar. Because what did he say? He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's the only one that could ever be said of. All the sons and daughters of Adam, which includes you and I, that could never be said of us. Now, if we're in Christ, and God the Father's pleased with Christ, who's the head of the body, then God the Father's pleased with us. All because of Christ, beloved. All because of what he's done. Isn't it wonderful? It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. So there's such a danger when someone says you must speak in tongues to be saved, or you must go to a certain church or you must go to church on Saturday, or you must be saved by something you do. There's such a danger in that. That's why Paul, in our study in Galatians, is so vehement against the Judaizers, because it's another gospel. It denies the finished work of Christ. See, salvation's either all of grace or it's not at all. See, and people say, well, how can you? That's a harsh way to say things, Wayne. Well, that's what the scriptures say. That's not my opinion. That's what the Word of God says. And that's why we gospel preachers, we preach Christ and him crucified, and only him, for the salvation of our souls. There's no other way to be saved outside of Christ. What was the whole reason Christ left heaven? To save his people from their sins, right? That's the whole reason he left. The whole reason he came here, we see in the text, is to glorify God and to finish the work that God sent him to do. And that's saving his people from their sins. He came here to finish the work, to die as a substitute of his people, to purchase our eternal souls with the shedding of his precious blood. And he proclaims here to the Father that he has finished the work which thou gavest me to do. My, oh my. He didn't come and die on the cross to make us savable. That's a lie from the pit of hell. No, he came to save us because we can't make ourselves savable. We can't save ourselves. We're lost. Amen, brother. We're dead in trespasses and sins. There's absolutely no way for a dead man to give himself life. That life must come from God. We see that with Lazarus. They roll away that stone. He's still dead, isn't he? He's still cold dead. Until the Lord says, Lazarus, come forth. Then he comes stumbling out. But those men rolling away the stone didn't give him life. is the words of God, the words of Christ that gave him life. See, we were dead in trespasses and sins, and the Holy Spirit, life! We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Live! The circumcision made without hands, the operation of God to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And now we cry out to Christ, don't we? My God and my Savior. So this wonderful truth of the perfect and complete finished work of Christ, you know, it's not presented in a vague way in Scripture. It's presented very clearly, isn't it? Very clearly in the Scriptures. It's quite clearly presented to us as a perfect, complete, finished work, which was done by the Lord Jesus Christ in Him alone. Now, if someone came to us and asked us what this salvation is, would you or I be able to give the exact definition? I think we would be able to with this one word. Finished. The work is finished. It's done. Salvation is complete. And it was completed by Christ and Him alone. Again, the Scripture is not vague in its presentation of salvation in Christ alone. It's not vague at all. All through the Old Testament, all those sacrifices pointed to Christ. We do not need to make a number of statements and use theological words to explain what is presented here tonight in our text. What is presented in our text is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work of redemption completely. He finished the work which the Father sent Him to do. And that was to save my soul. And if you're a believer, that was to save your soul. That's amazing, isn't it? That's why John Newton said, "This is amazing grace. That He'd save a wretch like me? That He'd save a sinner shaking my fist at God?" Yeah. See, there's hope for the hopeless, isn't there, in Christ? We know, because we were hopeless at one time. Now what a hope we have now! Oh my. Oh my. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We'll read verse 10. And then put your finger in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Look at this in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. These are a few scriptures that bring forth the perfect finished work of Christ. And it's, again, it's not vague. It's very clear in the Scriptures. Very clear. Look at this. Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Well, He came to save sinners, didn't He? The question is, are you lost? Hard to find lost people now. Everyone thinks that they're good. But if God starts working on you, you're going to find out you're lost. And then you're going to cry out to Him. If God gives you faith to believe, you're going to cry out to Him, just like every one of us is God's people. And then Matthew 20:28 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." He came to give His life, beloved. A ransom for our souls. He purchased our eternal souls. And then turn, if you would, to Matthew 1:21. Look at this. So clear. And like I say, it's not vague at all why the Lord Jesus came here. We cannot save ourselves, and look what the Scripture says. This is wonderful. "And she shall," verse 21, Matthew 1:21, "and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." It's so clear, isn't it? That's what Christ came to do. That's the work that He came to finish, to save us. To save us. Can't save ourselves, right? So Christ left the glories and splendors of heaven to save us. I like this verse in 1 John 3:5. It says, "And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin." He's the sinless one. He came to this world. The sinless one came to this world to die for sinners. My, that's the last thing that we would think. See, God's ways are not our ways, are they? His thoughts are not our thoughts. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 4. You know, he was sent to finish the work of redemption that the Father sent him to do. Let's consider this scripture here. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Same Greek word as he cried, it is finished, perfect. He came to finish the work perfectly. Yeah. Now turn, if you would, to John chapter 5, verse 36. Same Greek word used here too for the word finished. Same Greek word. John chapter 5, verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, speaking of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, there it is again, same Greek word, to complete to perfection. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Then turn to John 17:4, our text tonight, same Greek word here. John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work, same Greek word, which thou gavest me to do. And then turn to John 19:30. And then we're going to look at the definition of this word. John 19:30, same Greek word for finished. John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It's completed to perfection, beloved. Right there, when he cried that, that's the salvation of our souls. It's finished. Wonder of wonders. With these words that Christ is proclaiming, he's proclaiming that he has absolutely finished the work of salvation for us. Remember, he's raised for our justification to show that God's satisfied with that work, right? Same Greek word here, though. So it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. All these words for finished in the Greek is the same word, same Greek word. And listen to the definitions. I pulled out a whole bunch of definitions for this one word. To make perfect is the first one. To make perfect. He said, so he's saying on the cross, it is perfect. Salvation of my people is perfect. The salvation of my bride, it's perfect. Perfect. And then they use the word complete. Something's complete. There's nothing to add to it, right? It's complete. Then it means to carry through completely. To accomplish, finish, bring to an end. I like that one. Bring to an end. There's nothing left to do. And remember who the one is saying this. This is God in the flesh saying this. This is the Son of God. This is the Word of God incarnate, proclaiming these words. And then it says to bring to the end a goal which was purposed. Isn't that wonderful? It was purposed in eternity that Christ would die for the sins of his people. And then to accomplish, to bring to a close or fulfillment by an event, dying on the cross. But the first one, to make perfect. Oh, isn't that wonderful? It just makes my heart leap for joy. Just leap for joy. Christ has perfectly finished the work. So the definition we can give for the perfect work of Christ for the salvation of our souls is finished. Someone asks you, well, what do you believe? I believe Christ finished the work of my salvation. You just leave it right there, right? Because he cried, it is finished, which means it's perfect, to make perfect. So someone comes up and says, you got to do this to be saved. You say, no, Christ cried, it's finished, it's perfect. I believe him more than I believe you. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Completed by Christ alone, minus anything by us. Can we add anything to the perfect work of Christ? Nothing. Nothing at all. All we can do is mess it up. Oh, my. So each time I stand up and preach, I preach the perfect sin atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's complete. It's done. Just look to Christ and live. And how do we do that? By faith, by God-given faith. Oh, it's wonderful. The question for all who will hear this message is, are you a sinner? God's people say, yeah, I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of God. That's what we are. Sinners saved by the grace of God. And the answer is everyone is a sinner. There's a desperate need for Christ, isn't there? There's a desperate need for him. And we say, flee to the only Savior of sinners. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. Can't be saved by anything we do or say or our actions. Nothing. Nothing. Only by Christ. Only by the Lord Jesus Christ, who perfectly completed the work of salvation that the Father sent him to do. And because of his perfect sin-atoning work, you and I as believers will be in glory forever. All because of what he's done. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. This same Greek word, you know, is translated perfected. Turn, if you would, to Luke 13. As I was studying for this message, I didn't know about this verse. It kept coming up. It kept coming up. All the cross references I was looking at, and I'm sorry. All the cross references I was looking at, it kept coming up. It kept coming up. And I thought, I need to look into this verse. So I looked into this verse. Same Greek word. It's finished. Which again means to make perfect, right? Look at this. Luke chapter 13, verse 32. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. He's talking about Herod there. He's a fox. He's a crafty one. Because they had said, he's seeking to kill you. He said, tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Same Greek word. Perfected. So if there's nothing else to say but the work's done. The perfect man will be perfected. My, oh my. Perfected. Christ finished the work of redemption for his people, and it is perfect. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. You know, God does all things for his own glory. And Christ sought to glorify the Father in all that he did. How did Christ glorify God? By declaring his holiness. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. How else did Christ glorify God? By showing forth his praise. In Matthew 11, verses 25 to 26, he says this. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and revealed them unto babes. That's what we are. He kept it from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Oh, my goodness. All that we know about Christ, all that we know about God has been revealed to us because it pleased God to do so. Oh, my goodness. That's spectacular. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. Oh my, how did Christ glorify his Father? By bearing witness of him. Look at this in John chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. Oh my, what a chilling verse. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, the kenosca, intimately, and they follow me. I'll tell you what, there was a time when I didn't follow his voice. So for you too, eh? But when he called us, what happened? Oh, never a voice so melodious, so beautiful as the voice of Christ in through the preaching of the gospel. Oh, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. This is the Master speaking. This is God saying this about his people. Why? How can he say that? Because the work is perfect. The work that he did is perfect, complete. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Wonder of wonders. We're in the hand of God. Upheld by the everlasting arms in the hand of God. How did Christ glorify his Father? By his manner of death. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto them, follow me. John 21:19. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And then put your hand in Luke chapter 24. Romans chapter 1. Do you know Christ glorified the Father by his resurrection? And then he glorified the Father by his ascension back to glory? Look at this. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, and that's by God, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. That's talking about all the Old Testament here. Christ is the promised one. He's coming. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The same power that raised Christ from the grave is the same power that raised us when we were dead in trespasses and sins, beloved. What do we say then? Just all we can say is glory to his name. Now turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. How did Christ glorify his Father? By his glorious ascension. Where is he right now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is right now. Interceding for his people. Look at this in Luke 24, verses 50 to 53. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Puts his hands out, and he just starts going up. Now remember who this is. This is the resurrected God-man. This is the one who went through some walls, didn't he? Nothing for him. He's in charge of everything. He has all power. There's nothing for him to do this. And look what his people do. This is what we do, don't we? And they worshiped him. Oh, they worshiped him. And returned to Jerusalem with great what? Joy. Great joy. My sins are forgiven. Praise be to God. I just saw the king go up, Peter would say. And where he is, there we will be also. And then it says, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So what comfort God's people can find here in this text tonight. Let's read it again. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What comfort is found in here? We can rest in Christ Jesus our Lord, who completed the work of salvation for our eternal souls. Oh my. Think upon this world we live in. This was the scene of the Savior's work. He came to this world. This was where the plan of redemption came about in time. He was manifest, what? To take away our sins. That's the whole reason he came here. In heaven, God's glorified already, isn't he? Before Christ came to this world, he was already glorified in heaven. As the Word of God, that they were glorifying him all the time. Well, how fitting and necessary that God should be glorified where he's being dishonored. This whole world dishonors him. He's been dishonored by we who are sinners, by birth, nature, and choice. So he comes to glorify God in our place. Isn't it wonderful? We dishonor God by our sin, and he comes to be our substitute, to live the perfect life for us, honoring God, glorifying God in our room and place, and perfectly fulfilling the law of God in our room and place. And mark the emphasis that laid on the personal element as Adam fell from his original innocence, didn't he? And therefore, he failed in glorifying God. Well, what's Christ? He's the second Adam, isn't he? He's the second Adam who shall not fail. Isaiah says he shall not fail. And he comes and glorifies God for us in our place. Now we who are the redeemed, now we glorify God, don't we? Now we glorify him for the wondrous things he's done for us. All the sons and daughters of Adam, though, followed Adam in that downward spiral, didn't they? Now we're born sinners, dead in trespasses and sins when we come into this world. And only Jesus, only the second Adam, could speak these words where he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. Only the perfect man could say that. And then he says this, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Completely perfect. For the first time in the history of this world, the divine law of God in all its extent and spirituality found complete fulfillment in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he did that as our substitute. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing grace, isn't it? It truly is. It's amazing grace. You know, in Christ we behold the personal revelation of God. In him is found the brightness of the Father. He's the sinless one. He's the express image of his person. In Christ we behold the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, which he is. He is full of grace and truth. And still is full of grace and truth. And he came here. Christ came here to be a sacrifice for the sins of his people. Wonder of wonders. Christ did that for me. Every believer can say that. He did that for me. The sinless one died for sinners. In this vast work that Christ was sent to do is finished. Completely perfect, with nothing for us to do. Now see, this goes contrary to the pride of man, right? Because the pride of man wants to do something. And there was a time when we wanted to do something, wasn't there? Thank God he revealed himself to us. And we learned that there's absolutely nothing we could do to save ourselves. Oh, what a blessing. The work is finished. It does not require one iota of addition by any man, woman, or child. It is finished. You know, the worst thing that one can do is to treat it as unfinished. To say there's something man has to do. Again, that's making God a liar. That's treating the work as unfinished. He came to be the federal head of his people, the second Adam. All that God had given him in eternity, he came to die in their place. To redeem their souls. To rise from the grave for our justification. To ascend back to glory to be the mediator of we who are his people. You know, we died when he died. We died in him. See, Adam was our federal head, wasn't he? When he fell, we fell in him. When we died, we died. When Christ died, we died in Christ. When Christ rose, we rose with Christ. When Christ ascended, we ascended with Christ. Amen. Do you know that we're already seated in heavenly places?
Right there.
Oh my, isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh, my, the scriptures declare again, we're already seated in the heavenly places. And beloved of God, only that's only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in and through him. He's the head of the mystical body, of which every one of us is a member. Every one of God's elect is a member. Oh, my. So therefore, beloved of God, because of Christ's death, because of his ascension, and because of his resurrection, our ascension into glory is sure. Absolutely sure. Because he finished the work perfectly. Perfectly. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. This implies complete submission to the Father, doesn't it? He completely submitted to the Father's will. And he finished to perfection the work that God had sent him to do, which was to save his people from their sins. And he did it by the shedding of his blood and the giving of his life, beloved. And again, how do we then define what Christ has done for us? Finished. Salvation is finished. Hallelujah. Is finished. Praise be to